Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood washed away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come once again to that location where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's about being transparent, brutally honest, and biblically sound in offering both hope and help for men. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. That's what we're here for, is to help sharpen you so that you would understand and know that there are other men out there in your life that probably need for you to sharpen them to be able to give away what you have received freely, that you would give away freely. And once again, to help deal with the topic that you guys are wanting to hear about today, considering self-control and what that entails, what that looks like from our own experiences and from what the Bible says, I've got Joel in the studio. Good to have you, bro.
It's good to be here.
All right. So I sound a little bit better. I know the last couple of shows that we've done, I've actually been a little bit under the weather, and you're kind of feeling a little under, but you sound pretty good, actually.
Oh, well, thank you.
Well, we'll see what happens here after we get going, right?
After I start talking
too
much. Yeah,
start talking a little bit too much and stuff. But anyway, so you wanted to talk about this, one of the fruit of the Spirit, which is the last one, on self-control.
Yes.
And so often as men, we have a tendency of thinking that we just don't have enough self-control to be able to do things. And some guys have a tendency of thinking that by avoiding certain things, that's the way to have self-control. And we've all practiced different ways of being able to try to get things right in our life, right? Everything from making decisions to actually teaching others or showing others how to do certain things.
You know? Yes.
And doing it the way that maybe God had intended us to do that. Now, when we mention this sort of thing, everything that we do, right, the Bible says something that we are to work as if we work unto the Lord, right?
Because it's from Him we receive our reward.
That's it. But most of the time we sit there and we think, okay, we go to work. My boss is the one who's in charge of me, and it's his boss, the owner of the company, that writes the check. You know that, so I'm really working for them. But the mindset is that if I'm working for the Lord as unto the Lord, knowing that that is where my true, as you had mentioned, my true reward for eternity comes from. That's how, if I'm working as if Jesus is right, standing right next to me, I'm going to have a different attitude about things, aren't I?
You are. You know? You really are. But you got to keep that on your mind. I mean, that has to be on your mind constantly.
Yes, because all of a sudden our heads, things come and go very quickly, don't they?
They really do. You know, lust, selfish desires, greed, anger, depression, it can all come on you.
Man, what are those things? I've never heard of those things before.
You've never heard of those things? You are a blessed man to heard of those things and have to deal with those. Or maybe you're in denial.
Probably the denial would be more like it, right?
Oh, probably.
So anyway, so self-control, when it comes to this sort of thing, we end up realizing that, okay, if there's certain things, not all men can relate with being part of an athletic team, a sports team of some sort, or even an individual thing. If you are a runner, okay, or a wrestler, you know, you're not a whole team. You have a coach and some encouragers, but you're the one that has to do it all, right? So it's required that for you to get prepared for whatever it is that you're doing, there are certain things that need to take place, right? And in doing so, it's going to require that you're by yourself. In other words, when you wake up in the morning, if there are certain things that need to take place, there are certain things that others would want us to be doing, but sometimes it's difficult, more challenging for us to do them, okay, unless we have a certain mindset, okay? And that mindset is really where it begins, isn't it?
It really is. You got to fix your mind on what's right, on what's good.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't, your mind is going to wander. I find myself doing it so often. And before you know it, you end up doing something and you say, well, I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to make that choice.
Right.
You know, how come I lack this self-control that I see other men have?
Mm-hmm.
How come I lack it? How come I said that to the coworker? How come I spread that gossip? How come I looked at that lady the way I looked at her?
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't exercising self-control.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with me?
Mm-hmm. Well, the one thing is that there is already a difference in our mindset when we're believing that we don't have enough self-control. Because most of the time, if we're pondering or maybe even dipping our toes into sin, okay, you have the temptation, but you decide to test the waters on it, right? And you dip your foot into the sin a little bit. Then all of a sudden, the last thing that most guys want is to pull out of that, right? Because it's kind of like, oh, you know, I'm there, so I might as well just go all in, so to speak.
It's like right? After that first sip, I can have just one beer. You know, take a sip. It's like, well, hey, this tasted kind of good. Maybe I'll just finish the whole beer.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not drunk. I'm not doing anything stupid. Maybe I'll just have one more beer.
And it's no different than for those who have just challenges. Maybe they don't have challenges with alcohol or with lust. But maybe they have a food challenge. You can't just eat one potato chip. Pretty difficult. You open that bag up, you smell it, and you have that, you know, you get that one chip on your tongue and you chew it, and it's like, I can't just do
that. That salty goodness. Oh,
yes,
yeah. You need more of it.
Yeah.
You really do.
That's part of where a lot of this takes place, where we don't get to that place of allowing ourselves to test and to kind of, now I've got control of it. I'll just do it just a little bit, just like the analogy that you use.
Yeah. Paul says, you know, if any of you thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall.
Yes.
It's when you think you're standing that you're probably going to fall. Because you are. You're dipping your foot into sin. You're testing the waters to see how far you can go.
Yes.
Before you realize it, you went too far.
Yes.
Hindsight's 20/20.
Yes.
Hindsight's a great thing.
So as a guy, as a follower of Jesus, we sit here and we realize how much that we've actually, especially after we've been doing this for a little while. And for a month, if you've only been a follower of Jesus for a month, you can actually look and see what type of life that you've actually been doing and how challenging it becomes. Because so often we have the realization that once we accept Jesus as our Savior, okay, we believe that at that time that everything's going to be, I won't have any problems anymore. But if anything, it's just the opposite that takes place. Now the enemy is sitting there saying, whoa, what are you doing? Now we're going to see if you got what it takes here. I'm going to try to take you out. Because that's his whole deal, right?
He's going to turn up the fire on you.
That's right. His whole deal is in John 10:10, he talks about it, that his whole mission is to kill, steal, and destroy. That's it right there. That's what he's trying to do, is take you out.
And he's good at his job.
And well, he's been practicing an awful lot for a lot of centuries, right? And with a lot more people than even tougher than you and I, and wiser than you and I, and he's taking them out. But the key is that we need to be not self-centered, but in focus on the Lord. So often the Lord reminds us that, you know, that in seeking him, that's truly what it comes down to. I think he mentions it in a couple places here, and I've got them down here in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Let me see if I get to it here. Deuteronomy 4:29, I believe, is where I have it, and as my little thing gets going here. And he says here, but from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him, if you search after him with all your heart and with all your soul. So what he's saying here is that I have to be seeking the Lord with everything I've got, everything that I've got. And in doing so, that's where all of a sudden I realized that, you know, maybe there's a sense of protection, and now my mindset is more on God, okay? You know, he mentions it also in the greatest commandment, right? That in the New Testament.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength.
Yes. And how do we love the Lord? It tells us in 1 John, reminds us that by being obedient.
Yes. Okay? Obeying his word.
Obeying his word. And in doing so, that's where we're actually loving the Lord. Okay? And that's what we're called to do. I mean, part of what we're... I mean, this time on this earth for us is a short period of time when it's compared to eternity. Eternity. The Lord, we've asked him to come into our lives and to manage our lives, and that we would seek him. And in doing so, you know, you can't take that back. You actually made it with a heartfelt vow, in a sense, commitment to him. And that's the whole reason that he had created us. He wanted us to seek him, okay? And in doing so, and brother, even you wonder whether or not you know him or not. You have. If you've accepted him as your Savior and as your Lord, whether you realize or not, he is there. And he's not going away. He just wants to make sure that you're reminded that he is there and that you can continue to seek him for everything that you need, right?
Yes. So we're talking about this thing, self-control, because it is the fruit of the Spirit. When we accept the Lord into our heart, you know, we receive his Spirit within us. And self-control is one of the fruits of the Spirit. So it's something we should be, you know, it's something we should be portraying. It's something we should be doing, being self-controlled in all of our actions, our speech, our thought, our desires, you know. Are we going to gossip about people? Are we going to lust over the woman? But so easy. I mean, for so many years, we've been training ourselves to do what our flesh wants us to do. And now we're trying to do what the Spirit, what God's Spirit wants us to do. And so there's this battle at war within us. Mm-hmm. But we have to exercise self-control over our bodies.
Yes.
You know, we control where our eyes go. Mm-hmm. We control what our tongue says. We control what we put into our bodies. But for so long, we've been training ourselves to do the opposite, mm-hmm. to do what the flesh wants rather than what the Spirit wants. And now we're being called to do what the Spirit wants. And so we have to take control of ourselves.
Well, in this situation, you know, we know what it is the right thing to do, okay? And that's part of, you know, having a clear, sober mind today versus when it was full of darkness and sin. We're not thinking so much about what the Lord wants. We're thinking more about what it is that we desire. But as a result of that, our minds begins to change a little bit. We know the difference between right and wrong. We actually realize that and sitting here and knowing. But that doesn't mean, because we know it, that that's going to take place.
No. James 1:22 says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves.
Yes.
So we know what the right thing to do is, but we're not called to just know.
Right.
We're called to do. We're called to act. Mm-hmm. It's an active faith that we live in, and so it's action that we have to take, the right action. Sometimes maybe a lack of the wrong action.
Right.
But sometimes the lack of the wrong action is not enough to get you through a situation.
Yes.
Sometimes you have to take that right action, that alternative action. Mm-hmm. But how do we know what that alternative action is when we've been training ourselves for so many years to do the wrong thing?
Well, let's take a break. We're going to come back. Let's talk about some of these things that need to take place within us, between the ears, so to speak, because that's usually where it begins, right there, and because we have to take things in with our eyes, and we hear things, and so that's how it comes within us. But we'll talk about that when we come back from our break. You're listening to Banner Brothers Radio.
Be all that God designed you to be. Band of Brothers Radio reminds you to check the For Men Only tab at faithplace.org for daily tips on becoming better husbands and fathers.
Looking for another option for your internet service? Need a more reliable, high-speed internet? StarTouch is the premier provider of wireless broadband to businesses, government entities, schools, and residential customers in the Pacific Northwest. In fact, the talk show ministry you're listening to right now uses StarTouch as our internet provider. Experience the StarTouch difference. Get a free quote by visiting StarTouch.com.
Promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio, and his faithfulness is nothing greater than that. Jeremiah 29, 11, a lot of us know about that sort of thing, and even 12, okay, which says, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. Then verse 13, this is the one that's key. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Once again, here is the Lord reminding us through Jeremiah here as the prophet, letting us know that when we seek him with all of our heart, we will find him. Okay? The key is all of our heart. We have to be willing to set everything aside with no strings attached, with no requirements of what it is I'm going to ask him about. It's not out of our selfishness. It's out of his will be done in our life. And as a result of that, certain things are going to take place, and we'll have opportunity to be able to receive that from the Lord. But it's a matter of being able to get ourselves in a position of receiving, especially in seeking that. And that's going to require some self-discipline of our own to be able to become self-disciplined in the things that the Lord wants us to do. So
we're talking about self-control and that we need it. You know, Proverbs 25:28 says, a man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls.
Mm-hmm.
So if we don't have that self-control, we don't have our defenses up.
Yes.
And we are going to be attacked by sin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes, the more we seek the Lord, the more the enemy is going to attack us. But we have our walls up. We have our self-control to be able to resist. If we don't have that self-control, we are open to these attacks.
Right.
Not just open that they're going to come, because they're going to come. But we're open to receiving the attacks,
mm-hmm.
to hitting deep and to wounding deep.
Well, we have nothing to be able to defend against that.
Yes.
Okay? And that's where, as a result of making those decisions. And so a couple things that you might think that are necessary.
Well, the Holy Spirit, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But
well, that would be first and foremost.
That is.
And the only way of being able to get that, receive that, is in asking the Lord for his, acknowledging his presence in our lives. When we do that, all of a sudden he's in there saying, yes, thank you. You're acknowledging me. Now let me tell you, let me show you what it is I want you to do. But I think it's real important that that we actually are willing to ask for forgiveness in our life. I don't know about you, but I, on a daily basis, there are times when I just, at the very onset of my day, of asking the Lord to forgive me for anything that I might not even be aware of that I have done, that you would make me aware of it, Father, so that I may come and ask for forgiveness, so that I may turn away from that sort of thing, right? Repent away. And as a result of that, now I know that I'm doing the best I can to try to have a purified mind and soul, okay? If I try to seek the Lord in a certain area of my life and I have something in darkness, okay, that's hidden from everybody else and I think it's hidden from God too, he may not be hearing my prayers, okay? And, the Bible is very clear about that. about not being heard, our prayers not being heard by the Lord, if we don't have a pure heart, in a sense, okay? In other words, it doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to be willing to seek. That's why I ask, Lord, if there's any, you know, anything within me that I'm not even aware of, help me to be able to become aware of it so I can bring that to you.
And you would be surprised what he does.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes, you know, there's been times I've been seeking the Lord, and I've been praying, and I've been like, Lord, I love this prayer answered. And then the thought comes to my mind, is there anything I've done mm-hmm. in my life mm-hmm. recently or long ago that I haven't repented of that you, Lord, desire me to repent of?
Right.
And sometimes nothing comes.
Right.
But other times I get convicted of something.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I'm called to make amends with someone.
Mm-hmm.
Other times I am called to just confess it,
mm-hmm.
repent of it,
mm-hmm.
so that I can be released of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because our minds are like a steel trap.
Right.
They hold on to things. But we're called to renew our minds. And the Lord wants to create us new every
yes.
day.
Well, we're not renewing our minds. It's the Holy Spirit that renews
it's
us.
It's the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
By
we have to be
him.
Willing to allow him to take away those things that are necessary. Just like the pruning, you know, the vine and the branches. I need to have certain things taken out of my life that no longer apply, that aren't going to be necessary for me as I draw closer to the Lord and seeking to do his will. There are things that I need to let him prune, okay? And I don't know about you, but I've pruned a few bushes and a few trees, and I can only imagine what that would be like to have something pruned. It has to be a little painful sometimes.
It really does. You know, and that might be one of the first steps you need to make for this self-control or this
mm-hmm.
self-discipline,
mm-hmm.
is to discipline yourself to be with the Lord, to be with the Lord every morning, every day, every hour, every minute. That can be the first step to this self-control. Let me tell you, brothers, I have failed so many times in my self-control. I've spread gossip at work that I didn't want to spread. I've looked at women lustfully that I didn't want to look at. I've been walking down the hall. I turn my head, and if there's a woman, my eyes instantly go to her backside before I even consciously realize there's a woman.
Yes.
If it's a guy, I'm not looking at his backside. But a woman, before I even realize there's a woman there, I'm looking there. And then I'm wondering why I don't have this self-control. But it takes practice. As we consciously change ourselves, subconsciously, our minds will learn to adapt.
Yes.
But you have to have this self-discipline to seek the Lord and to seek what he wants in your life.
Yes, yes. And those are the things where, here's the deal. One of the, everything that we share about, we talk about, so it sounds like we're just doing this by ourselves. But truly, if you try to do a lot of this by yourself, you're not even going to get very far. Because your flesh desire is greater than that of your desire to really want the Lord in your life. And you can be deterred, you can be things can come in front of you that are to take your mind off of what it is that you're doing. But what's truly important is that we realize that there are men in our lives that are willing to assist, whether it be through prayer or sharing their own experiences that might be similar to your own experiences, and you know who they are. You just don't want to seek them because that is a commitment. And making a commitment means that all of a sudden you're willing to say, okay, I'm willing to take a look at these things and let somebody else see them also. And as a result of that, this is a process where a lot of fear will actually be stirred up as a result of that. No, you don't have to go there. You don't have to talk to him. You can do this all by yourself. What Raul is saying is not necessarily true for everybody. You know, these are all lies from the enemy. These are lies from the enemy to try to keep you isolated. Because you know what? If he's got you isolated and away from the pack, you're an easy target. You're easily brought down, and you find yourself failing or coming up short each and every time when you attempt to do something for the Lord, okay? And as a result of that, you're going to get discouraged. And discouragement doesn't do anything except cause you to give up, in a sense, or give in, depending.
Yeah, and we don't want to give in. There's so much more, you know, to joy in this life that we don't want to give in. But we do need that help. We need that help from another brother. We need that help from the Lord. There's a proverb that says, faithful are the wounds of a friend,
mm-hmm.
because they're going to tell you what they see that maybe you could change. You know, I had a brother tell me as I found myself wandering towards a flirty coworker after work, he gave me some logical advice. Park in a different spot out in the parking lot, as far away from her as you can, so that you're no longer near her. Now, I wouldn't have thought about that myself because there was this spot I always liked to park in and it just happened to be next to her. You know, so I wouldn't have thought maybe I should just park way over there so I'm not near her. So I won't be tempted to talk to her after work as she's sitting in her car eating lunch and I'm going out to my car to leave. But a fellow brother told me that because I was willing to let him know of my – I confess my sins.
Yes.
It was lust that I desired. It was lust that I was acting in when I went and spoke to her.
Right.
And a fellow brother was willing to say, that's wrong. You need to change that. You know, but we also have to have that hindsight. Hindsight is 20/20.
Mm-hmm.
So don't be discouraged when you fail. You can look back and you can see where you went wrong and you can change it. Proverbs 24:16 says, for the righteous falls seven times and rises again.
Yes.
So you may fall down in this process of self-control, but it's getting back up.
And like anything else, we've talked about this before. A big part of this is it's about practicing. It's about continuing to practice to do the things that are necessary to have self-discipline, okay? And in practicing, and those of you guys who have, you don't have to be an athlete to have practiced something. At work, if you have a certain job that you have to do, maybe you're changing oil all the time. To be able to get things lined up, to screw them in properly, making sure that there's maybe everything is lined up a certain way so that you don't screw up the threading on that sort of thing, right? You have to continue to practice that sort of thing. You get better. The more often that you do it, the easier it comes to be able to do that sort of thing. And that's what you want, is you want to continue practicing this stuff because the more that you do it, okay, the better you will, easier it will come. But also, with practice, that means that you're going to come up short. But do not be discouraged, similar to what you just mentioned here in Proverbs here, that we are going to mess up. We are going to stumble, okay? We're going to attempt to try to do the right thing, and things, unfortunately, don't necessarily go the way that we'd like them to go all the time. That's a big part of it, is that we are human, okay? We also have an adversary that is trying to distract us also, to discourage us, and as a result of that, we end up coming up short and not thinking very highly of what it is that we're doing in some cases.
Yeah, it's that practice. You know, the NIV version of 1 Corinthians 9:25 says that all who compete in the games go into strict training.
Yes.
It's that training that you have to put yourself through.
Yes.
You know, so if you're an athlete, you know, it's that training that you do. No one became a great athlete overnight. Even those that are gifted still had to train. No one became a journeyman, tradesman overnight. No one became a doctor or a lawyer overnight.
Right.
You have to go into this training. Even with the help of the Holy Spirit, we still have to train ourselves, mind, body, and spirit. Mm-hmm. We have to train ourselves continuously.
Well, just like a doctor. You know, he has his little paper on the wall that says he is in practice, okay? So he's continually practicing and getting better with the new technology and new things that come up all the time. We are to do the same thing. You know, in seeking the Lord, we continue to practice. And in doing so, and asking the Lord, what is it that you need to do? Now, you may be asking, guys, what are you asking the Lord for this stuff here? Isn't it something that you need to do? Remember that if I abide in Him, if I'm seeking the Lord, that's the whole key. If I'm seeking to do His will, then all of a sudden, I'm going to find that He's going to make my path straight. He's going to level the mountains for me. He's going to bless you, brother, as a result of seeking to do His will in your life. And as a result of that, His will be done, okay? And that's where all of a sudden we start seeing changes in our lives. Before we know it, we start doing or not doing certain things. And all of a sudden we notice that there's something different about us. Then we give gratitude and glory to the one who deserves it for doing it.
Yeah, that's exactly correct. We are called to do this.
Yes.
We are called to control ourselves. But we got to remember Philippians 4:13. It says, I can do all things through Him who gives me strength.
Mm-hmm.
So it's through him. It's
mm-hmm.
through the power of his Spirit
mm-hmm.
that we can do this. Because there are unbelievers without the Spirit that they can exercise this self-control. They can quit smoking,
mm-hmm.
you know, on their own self-control. But you can only go so far
mm-hmm.
without the help of God.
Yes, yes. Let's take a break, our last break here, and then we'll come back and let's we'll kind of, in the waning moments of the show, we'll talk about some real application that we could actually put in as men to get more self-discipline, to have more self-control and confidence in what it is that we're doing. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Men, don't fight your battle alone. Download our podcast to your iPod every day and take Band of Brothers Radio with you. We got your back covered.
When you need a lasting remembrance of a loved one, you can spend thousands of dollars on an engraved monument, bench marker, keepsake urn, or flag case. Or you could get the exact same engraved monument at a far lower cost from Cascade Monuments. Right now, explore even bigger savings during Cascade Monuments' anniversary event. Cascade Monuments ships throughout the United States and Canada. Shop online at cascademonuments.com.
Say it only takes a little faith to move a mountain. Well, good thing a little faith is all I have right now. God, when you choose to leave mountains unmovable, oh, give me the strength to be able to sing. It is well with my soul. I know you're able and I know you can save through the fire with your mighty hand. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone. I know the song.
Welcome back to Band Brothers Radio, and you know, one of the things I think is so key when it comes to self-control and seeking God and asking for his assistance and making and taking the time to listen to his response. So often we come to him in prayer of always just saying, you know, Lord, can you do this for me? Can you do that for me? I need this, and this is so important. This needs to get done. Help show me, and et cetera, et cetera. Sometimes I think we forget to give the Lord what he truly wants to hear. And that's being thankful for the things that he has given you. Acknowledging that to him. Because we are to glorify him for all time, for all things. And brother, when we are seeking the Lord for assistance, you know what we're actually doing? We're actually praying. We're conversing with the Lord. And that communion with him is so, so important. He wants us to do that more and more often, okay? He mentions and I came across in one of, as I'm looking through some of the verses here on self-control, because I think it's important. But anyway, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, okay, let me just get to it, 7:5. It says, do not deprive one another. He's talking about the husband and wife here, okay? That our bodies are not our bodies. My body belongs to my wife. My wife's body belongs to me. But there's a time and in place when sometimes it's not that you need to not. My desire to want to make love with my wife does not necessarily mean that she should just stop everything and do that. Okay, and that's where this comes in. It says in 1 Corinthians 7:5, do not deprive one another, except perhaps by agreement for a limited time. You know, that sometimes there's that time of month that you need to just, okay, you need to take a time out here. The wife may not feel real comfortable with doing anything at this time, okay? So that's what he's talking about here, except perhaps by agreement for a limited time, that you may devote yourselves to prayer, but then come together again so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control, okay? So once again, prayer is so huge. See, when we're praying, we're acknowledging God's presence in our lives. when we're in his presence and praying to him, there's more light that is in our around us, surrounding us, because we're acknowledging him, we're in his presence. And as a result of that, there's less darkness, and the enemy doesn't like that. But he's going to flee from that. When perfection shows up, imperfection flees. Okay? So anyway, I just thought I'd share that about that that part.
And it's so true, and it says right there at the end, because of your lack
of self-control.
Yeah. You know, we have to remember 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. Mm-hmm. But it says that God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. Now, here's the important part. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. In that situation, that way out may be that prayer. That way out may be that wife he has given you. But it comes with all things, whether we need to control our tongues at work, whether we need to control our actions. There's always a way out. There's always an alternative choice.
Right.
But we have to seek that alternative choice.
Well, some of the things that we wanted to talk about here before toward the on the back end of the show here is actually some application. One of the things I think is so important is that we realize that we need to unlearn certain things. We've been doing a lot of these behaviors for a long, long time. Many of us for, I mean, decades, okay? And you do them over and over and over again, and they become such a part of us. That's why it's difficult to sit there and to prune. Say, I can't prune this. You know, the limb on this is so thick, it's as thick as the trunk that is holding it up or whatever, right? But no, no, no. The Lord's word, okay, is sharper than any double-edged sword. Sharp enough to be able to separate, you know, flesh from muscle, okay, or a ligament, you know. The point being is that the Lord could do anything he wants. But we are just afraid sometimes that we need this. But what we need, truly, brother, is more of him and less of the things that we used to rely on, which usually had to do with us, right?
Yeah. You know, and we're going to suffer through these things in times, but suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope.
Mm-hmm.
So we do these, we have to apply it to our lives, but we can't give up. So
what you're saying is that this is going to be challenging. It's not going to come easy. We may pray and the Lord says, okay, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that because you're allowing me to do it. It's going to be challenging because in the flesh, we don't want this stuff to, we're so used to this. Hey, this is my puppy. You know, this is my puppy. I've had it for so long. I can't just let it go, you know.
Well, you've had it for so long. I'm sorry, brother. It is no longer a puppy. That is a big slobbering dog that is making a mess of your spiritual house.
Yes.
I think it's time to let it go.
Yeah, yeah. But so often it comes down to how do I do this for the rest of my life type of thing. Well, I'm going to give you just a simple thing that I usually let the guys know because this is how I apply this into my life. These things of seeking the Lord to be able to have self-control, of allowing him to be able to prune those things from my life that are unnecessary. If I have a mindset that I have to do this for the rest of my life and I'm only in my 20s or 30s, I'm sitting there thinking, oh man, what am I going to do? Well, stop thinking that way. That's the enemy that wants you to think like that. He wants you to think that you're going to be overcome and there's no way you're going to be overwhelmed with this daily and hourly for the rest of your life. Well, what you do is you do this one day at a time. The Lord talks about it in Matthew. He says that this day is the day that I've given you, in a sense, okay? You know, you have enough trouble in this day, so don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about anything tomorrow. Take care of this day, okay? And when he reminds us of that sort of thing, then it makes it a lot easier for us to say, can I just allow myself to trust in the Lord this day? Between now and the time that I put my head back on my pillow to end the day, can I just give it to him completely? To be aware of my shortcomings and the deals I've been dealing with on
our trials
all the time. Can I just give that to him this day? And sometimes we have to break that down into hourly segments if necessary.
Even minutes.
If necessary.
You know, one of the things that can help is to have a reminder, because a physical reminder with you, whether it be a WWJD wristband, whether it be something in your pocket like a note from a dear friend, to have a physical reminder with you to remind you to think about the Lord all the time, so that as the troubles and the trials come at you, you're not so easily distracted, but so that in between the trials, you're thinking of the Lord. I got a notepad I keep with me at work for making notes, and on one of the sheets of paper, I wrote the words pray on it. So every time I pull it out of my pocket to make notes, the very first paper I see is a big old word, pray. And so it's reminded me to keep my thoughts and mind on Him.
You know, one of the things that works, and we do it with the men on during a time of or Easter's in season, so to speak. And if you go to your neighborhood hardware store, or maybe you've got some out in your garage, find yourself a 4 to 6 inch spike, a nail. Nothing, you know, you don't have to carry it, but a nail, and put it in your front pocket, either one. And let me tell you something, brother. You're going, throughout the day, you're going to feel that nail, okay? It might even poke you. It might even cause a little hole in your pocket, okay? But the point being is that it's there to remind you of what the Lord is here in your life. You would think about Him. Not only what He had done by dying on that cross for you and I, but the simple fact is that it would remind me of Him, because the nail would, that would do it. So if you want something that is with you when you're, you know, not sleeping and everything, you've got it, you know, during the day at work, you want to be able to be reminded of the Lord. You know, maybe you're not allowed to wear wristbands, or maybe you're not allowed to have any kind of jewelry or anything like that. But maybe in your pocket, you could put this 4 or 6 inch spike or nail in your pocket. That would be a good way to be able to be mindful of being reminded of the Lord.
That would be, because having that physical reminder will help us.
Yes.
Every time you put your hand in your pocket to grab your phone.
Yes.
Or your keys.
Yes.
Or every time you take a step forward and you feel that tension in your pocket. It does. It helps you to keep your mind on the Lord.
And not just that, but it also reminds you to say thank you, Lord. Okay. To be able to be in gratitude for the things that you do have in your life. It may not all be the way that you want it right now, and God's in the midst of allowing things to take place in your life to strengthen you. Maybe He's preparing you. He wants you to become in a sense, confident about what it is that you're doing, knowing that you're trusting in Him even more. And as a result of that, brother, eventually you will get to that place where you're doing this all the time, and you're sharing with others how they can do it also, okay?
And you will share. One of the ways is by your actions, by your attitude, by your mood. You'll be that light for Jesus in the world, as we're called to be.
Yes.
You know, a city on a hill. You know, we're not called to hide our lights under a bowl. We're called to let it shine. But first we have to let it shine within ourselves. And first, we have to have a light of our own that we get from the Lord God. The spirit that God gives us, it does not make us timid, but it is a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. And so it's God's spirit that will help us through this.
And that's the key, is that it's not us doing this. It's Him that's doing this. And if we have more of Him in our lives, the less likely that we're actually going to be tempted and desire to go into the temptation, which will be eventually sin, you know, and as a result of that, our lives are going to change, and people are going to notice that, and people are going to desire to hang out with you in some cases. Now, some won't, but doesn't mean that they won't down the road. We're called to love them just as they are, because the Lord loves them. That's a hard thing for us to remember, right?
Yes.
I mean, when it comes to self-control or self-discipline, is that those who don't like us or who challenge us or for whatever reason, okay, we are called to love them, okay? It doesn't mean you have to hang out with them. It doesn't mean you have to go have lunch with them. It doesn't mean you got to have them over for dinner at your home or anything like that, but you're called to love them because the Lord created them. The Lord created them to come to know Him. And He may just use you as a result of it So being kind and compassionate and understanding and empathy, you know, with empathy, not sympathy necessarily, empathy, meaning that you have like-minded experiences in that same arena. And as a result of that, your life will begin to change. And all of a sudden, this stuff that you were looking at, you talked about at the start of the show, where we are actually lusting over a certain individual, now instead of looking down, we're going to just look straight across, straight at, you know, the eyes and at the individual, you know,
yep.
And looking at them as Jesus is looking at them.
There you go.
You know, so good topic. We keep talking about the self-control thing all over the place. The brothers, you're not doing this alone. You want to seek other brothers' assistance and their 2 cents worth of how they've gotten where they've gotten to. Anyway. All right. Will you pray for our brothers?
Yes. Heavenly Father, I lift up to you the brothers listening, and I pray, Lord, that you would fill them this day with more of your Spirit, that you would give them the strength, the power, the love, and the self-discipline that your Spirit provides to overcome the trials and the temptations that are facing them this day. And Father, when they fail, I pray that they would not beat themselves up, but that they would get back up and continue on in victory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.